Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to the UNPR podcast. I am Team Matrix. You can check out the show. Flag Football America is the website. FlagFootballAmerica.com is the website. We are broadcasting on the Blog Talk Radio Network now for 5 years. BlogTalkRadio.com/FlagFootball. Week 2 is in the books. Tons of blogs this week. It's kind of clear right now that that could be mentioned in last week's show that it's definitely an arms race. It's really going to be a matter of that. Get the field has opened up a little bit in terms of dimension. We're going to have points, scoring. Tons of shutouts this week. Definitely got a clear look at some of the teams. Weather's been improving. Spring league, cup first preseason in week one was more inclement weather. So now that the weather warms up, you get a little bit of more teams getting able to stretch their legs. Although we did have a little bit of a frost on the field for week one. What I plan to do is we're going to have S-Top in the studio at some point. What we'll do is go through the recap of the games, get a really fresh perspective on the teams, you know, sort of clear out talent-wise who's really playing on what teams, a couple surprises, a couple of moves, and some other franchises who have moved the players, who have moved to different franchises. But let's get right into it. First game of last week, pretty much, like I said, one surprising thing here was the lack of a player, Hall of Famer, who didn't play. But first game of the day was the Bulls versus the Stallions. Stallions lose in a shutout. They get beat 39-0. They actually had Bill S., who was a member of the Shockers, member of the journeyman teams, who was actually a really good tight end, really good receiver, but they threw him in at quarterback, and it just wasn't going to be able to sustain really the experience of the Bulls. So this game was never really close, although Bill did have a couple of, like anything, what you see with a quarterback who's new, you know, was able to run a few times, avoid the rush. He was rushed by Mark from the Stags over time. What you'll see is that just tends to become diminishing returns. Kind of when you get tired, the field gets a little slick. You're just really not going to be able to get a lot of yards for your offense if you can't put the ball down the field. So with the Stallions offense, they had Justin and Johnny, but really weren't able to sustain and drive. So that was pretty much the story of that game. Big story here for the Bulls is that, right, yeah, they're intact. They've got, like I said, the big three. I like to call them the big five. They've got Ryan, and they've got Gino, and they've got Scott, and they got Sunshine. So they got that core group together with Mike L. leading them, but they've added Fee. They've added Mike from the Stallions with Taz and a couple other new players. You know, the Bulls now, they're trying to make a run. So this one didn't even come close. Tons of turnovers here. Actually, I think the Stallions didn't turn the ball. I mean, the Bulls didn't turn the ball over, but the Stallions got a couple picks. Fee at rushing just causes problems. He's gonna have over... He'll probably average about 3 sacks a game, so he could have 30, 40, 50 sacks a game. So not close in this game. Bulls defeat the Stallions 39-0. So other thing to note here, C. Rich didn't play. He actually was at the field, so supporting the team, but was in street clothes. Then we got an explanation from Gordon why he didn't suit up to play. But nonetheless, hopefully he'll be back for next week. So Stallions kick off their second week with a defeat, 2-0. We'll hit the standings in a moment, but we'll have to run through the games. But they'll come out. So Stallions have yet to win a win. I don't think about the Stallions is that they actually, I think they lost their first 3 or 4 last semester, but they went on a run and they actually got into the upper echelon in terms of seedings. I think they may have ended up with like a 5th or 6th seed, but they made a good run there. So wouldn't panic, but you obviously want to get that first win and get that out of the way. So second one of the game of the week. Another blowout, 40-0. Top boys lose to NWO. And like I said, with NWO, I mean, that's a team that they're cranking. They've got everyone back, Rice, Jeff, and Brandon. They know what to do. Scott Rushes, Kelly, and Christine. Actually, they always do something every week that I've never seen before, from what Gordon tells me, is actually on this play. Actually, not only did their female players each have an interception, but on this play, yeah, they're not afraid to run routes at men. They're going to run a route over the middle. They're going to double them up on two sides and go into a zone. They actually, if the league didn't have the rule, I bet you they wouldn't mind if men played females one-on-one, because they just don't see the difference of a male-female player. But they roll here 40-0. One thing to note, Jeff, for the Hot Boys had 3 touchdowns, catches in this game. Really was just a matter of, like I said, and, you know, they'll just really get into the pace of their offense. They tend to be fairly consistent with their offense. So no big surprises here. One other thing, though, tons of turnovers. Like I said, they have established rusher and Scott, so you know what you're going to get. You know what defensively they're going to put pressure on you. Ironically, I think Brandon actually had an interception for a touchdown here. Rare, but he will sometimes play defense and get a pitch here. Although he's a serviceable primary defense, obviously his value is on offense. So Scott contributed to a two-point conversion. Urias and Joe added extra points as well. So Hot Boys lose 39-0. I'm probably 40-0 versus NWO. So you're looking for Stallions and NFF, the Hot Boys. You want them to, you know, hopefully they regroup and get themselves together for next week. So game three, the Mustangs with Viper and Silky and Joker and Steve all come together. Good day for their, actually, the weather warmed up a little bit, so it was around 10:30 mid-morning, so it was getting a little warmer. Field conditions were better. They beat Victoria's Secret 45-12. So Victoria's Secret, newer franchise, led by rookie quarterback. And like I said, when you have a new quarterback, so challenge of this game, which translates over from contact football, even rough touches, that you really have to get used to the rush. You have to get used to the pace of the game. You have to get used to the rules. Victoria's Secret, although they may not have one in week one, they did have a gender violation in this game on third and gender. On third and gender, the man goes deep. He's curious why no one else is covering him. He's wide open. Well, because, yeah, your focus is on the female. You have to deliver that ball to the female. So they were able to do that, but with limited success. Big note of this game, and this is something I've never seen because, you know, Gordon's always plucking out. There's always something you'll never see in a game. That's why you play the game. Is for in the second half, his first pass in the second half of the game, although the game I think was 33-0 at that point, he had thrown a flat out, and Mia from the Victoria's Secret picked off the ball and took it to the house for an interception. Now, number two things here. Number one is a rare for Chuck D to throw an interception in the first half. He does throw interceptions, but it's rare that he'll throw them in the first half. He didn't throw it in this one, but on the first play of the second half, threw a pick, and she took it all the way. So however he threw it, she had a good angle that just to sort of get to the end zone, and she put it in for the first Victoria's Secret point to that defensive touchdown. One thing to note here, if you look at the trajectory of the game, was that not only did she pick it off, right, they get their first score, is that the Mustangs, actually the first two touchdowns were defensive touchdowns. Jerome, who had three touchdowns, I think he had two touchdown catches, an interception for a touchdown, an extra point. But he literally returned the ball probably about 70 yards, caught it at about 10 and just made really good moves and got down the field and pretty much went from one diagonal of the field to the other on his return interception. So that was interesting to see nonetheless. So he returned it. But then Victoria Shiva did get in the end zone a little later in the game from a, I believe it was a quarterback catch. But they did score late in the game, so they lose 45-12. Like I said, Victoria's Secret, like I said, they have a veteran on the team with Mike and a couple other players, Cody from the Stallions. But, yeah, it's just going to be a matter of them just sort of getting their act together in terms of offense. I believe their newer player, Andrew, had a touchdown. So, you know, like I said, it'll come along. You know, the quarterback, Rel, like I said, he's only played 2-5 football games in this league. So it changes in terms of pace of the game and get yourself ready. So that'll definitely change going forward. So Mustangs again start the season out undefeated. Games look interesting as we get further into the week, but yeah, they're now 2-0, so they jump out to a 45-12 defeat of the Mustangs. And in the last game of the day, the Sharks defeat Marvel 26-0. So not a lot of scoring from the losing teams here. Only 12 combined points along the losses here. Like I said, I think Marvel's issues are not that they have major issues. I mean, they obviously have athletic players on defense. To give up 26 points is not unreasonable for a 5 football game. But offensively, they're just going to have to get something consistent. They've got Mike at tight end, and they've got, you know, DeAndre, and they've got Deontay rushing. So defensively, I think they'll be okay. So they're really going to have to get themselves stabilized offensively. You're just going to have to be more versatile. We're a little bit selection of plays, really, Gordon's saying. And like I said, over the course of the season, as team members change and you're trying to bring in new players, that's gonna be a challenge. I mean, their challenge is going to be really juggling 3 females. I mean, they think they've got 3. I think they've got DMC. Can't remember the other female name. I think she played defensive in Jenna, who was a standout for the Sparks last season. So to juggle all that talent and not really be able to deliver them the ball is going to be a challenge for them. So it was fairly close in the game. I was only 14-0 at halftime. But overall, you just got an experienced team. I mean, you got Dave and you got First Lady and Benzo, and that's just over time that's gonna that experience is just gonna hurt you. So they did get an interception, I believe, and then three touchdown receptions. I think it was Shirley scored a touchdown for them, Eric and Kamar. I think they did get a fourth, but don't have that information in front of me. But they did jump out to an early lead here and kind of kept it 7.5, second half, just because of a couple turnovers and just some good defense by Marvel. They really were able only hold them to like two touchdowns a half, which you expect. I mean, that's something that it's not unreasonable to give two touchdowns. It's just a matter of offensively, are they going to be able to give themselves a chance? I kind of see them like as the hot boys where some games they can play good defense, but if they don't get out and get touchdowns early, it's going to be a long day. So Marble is defeated by the Sharks 26-0. So in terms of standings, let's look at where that puts everyone now. Obviously, we got a bunch of undefeated teams. At this point, there's just basically a big chasm in the league. We have no team who is even up in terms of the record. So we got 4-2-0 teams, and then we have 4-0-2 teams. So your undefeated teams are Bulls, Mustangs, New World Order, Sharks. If you're looking at scoring, I mean, they're all scoring about 60, although the Mustangs are a little bit ahead of the pack at 84 points total. And then Sharks at the moment haven't given up a whole lot of points, only 929. The other ones are in the 50 to 60 range. And then Marvel, that is Victoria's Secret, and Hot Boys at this point are winless. So coming into the week, this week, with the weather will be much improved. I think the weather's going to be in the 60s. You now look to open up the game. You know, you won't have the wind as in week one. It won't be as cold in the early part of the games as week two. So week three, you really want to assess your team, and this is where you kind of really start establishing some game plan and some rhythm. Really good games on the docket here. Two in particular, New World Order will play the Bulls, rematch of an epic playoff game last year, which New World Order, I believe, won it on the last play of the game. So, you know, I think it was the last play of regulation. So that'll be a really interesting game. Stallions, Marvel, you see how those two teams match up. Both winless, so someone will get a win. Victoria's Secret, Hot Boys, one of them will get a win. And then your last two undefeated will be Sharks versus the Mustangs. So we'll definitely have two undefeated teams and one team at 2-1. So we'll just see how that paces out. Should be really good. I anticipate the New World League game will be really low scoring. Really good defenses, really good rushes, really good females. So you anticipate that game being in the 20s. Although, if the not with the field a little wide, you might get a little more opening up scoring. And then the Sharks-Mustang game, that game could be higher scoring. One rookie I forgot to note on the Sharks is Shrey. I think he had an interception for a touchdown. But he's a promising rookie. He's come on and been able to make an impact for the Sharks in the first couple of weeks. So those are your games for week three. Games start at 8:30, so 8:30 will be New World Order versus the Bulls. 9:30, Marvel Stallions, Hot Boys versus Victoria's Secret at 10:30, Sharks versus the Mustangs at 11:30. So, you know, you look at that schedule, early morning games, teams will be out early, so should be interesting. One thing about two in this, the Mustang-Sharks game, although experienced, the Sharks are really need to get themselves set up defensively. They got a couple newer players on defense, so when you put those newer players against a veteran team like Silky and Viper and Joker and Matt and Jerome and Carlos, I mean, they got their hands full. I mean, one thing about the Mustangs, we've seen it before in terms of teams with backup players, but rarely at this level, is that they have really three quarterbacks on that team. Carlos can play quarterback if needed. Jerome can play quarterback if needed. I believe both have won an award in this league, either as Rookie of the Year or some other offensive award. So with Viper and Silky, I mean, you got a versatility there that just unmatched. Actually, the issue here would be them not dropping balls. I know in that Mustangs game last week, Matt had dropped a couple balls from Chuck, and it's a different pace. I mean, Chuck, you know, someone made a brilliant observation of what Gordon was telling me, is that, someone said, hey, this is not Dom. You're not going to get the ball kind of float, and you're going to get the ball on a rope. It's going to drop right in. Don't stop running. If you're running a deep route, keep running. I think Matt, you know, could be kind of eased up on his route, and Chuck's going to put the ball there. And you say nothing about Chuck D. He's a baller. He knows where to put the ball. He's been doing it a while. So, but that's a good problem to have. Believe me, there's not going to be any issue with that team getting the ball. So should be interesting to say nonetheless. So let's do this. Let's hit the power rankings, and then we'll kind of just hit down on the performances of the week. I'll bring up one thing to make note of just going forward in terms of this new field that we're on. really some positive things. I mean, it's a field where you'll be able to bring your family out. There's like picnic benches and place for the park. So in terms of the field, you know, the township has really supported the league. Commission is always working hard behind the scenes to make things happen. I'll go through a couple of the rules specifications that sort of came up, which is, I think, you know, this came up in one of the previous games where, you know, there was an issue of the female rule question, which has always been an evolving thing. And when you're as progressive and looking into the future as this league, the female involvement in the game is unprecedented. So as anything, it evolves, you know. It really was a situation where the females were there just to sort of, make it co-ed. You know, it's an all-male league. We know what happens. It's going to be ultra-competitive. This always shades it back a notch because, you have someone in that huddle who has a different perspective and should be a valued member of the team. So we'll kind of specify that rule a little bit because just to kind of put it on document with what the rule states and make sure that, all the teams are sort of good. But ultimately, it's captain's responsibility to disseminate that information. So that's what you're ultimately looking for. Real quick, don't know if we have a call. Maybe someone's just listening, but real quick. Let's see. Gordon's telling me there is someone possibly with their hand up. Let's see if there is a call here. You are live on the UMPR podcast. This is T Matrix. Who am I speaking with? And looks like they're just listening. All right, so we'll go forward. Like I said, building on the system here, sometimes you can see we have listeners to the show. A lot of listeners go back and listen to the show live, or they'll go back and we'll record the show and they'll go back and listen later. So we do get a lot of players in the league who listen to the show. If you're at work or you don't get a chance to listen to it when we broadcast the show or post it up on Facebook. Sometimes players go back, but sometimes we do get a call that wants to be heard. So one thing, too, if you want to go back and listen to the show, it's blogtalkradio.com/football. All the league standings, the scores, the highlights, the schedule, the standings, stats, all that is flagfootballamerica.com. Just click KLP division. Have all the information on the front page. You can go to the game, the standings, and all that. So let's hit standings. We did hit that already, but let's hit power rankings. Going into, obviously, listen, your record is what it is. We got four teams that are 2-0. We got another teams that are 0-2. I mean, the power rankings is there. Just sort of put in the perspective of who's trending, who's maybe on the upswing, who maybe the front office or Gordon thinks is on the downswing. Like with any league, this team determines that it tends to ebb and flow. So you're always going to get different perspective in terms of the power rankings. But here's how it sits. Let's go from the bottom. Let's go from the top down. New World Order. And then we'll hit the games for this week in terms of the schedule. New World Order. They're number one team. You put them at the number one ranking, power rankings. Number two is the Bulls. You put them 1-2 because they are 1-2. Mustangs, right, at this point, this week can make a push to get into the top three. Obviously, they won't play the Bulls or their New World Order this week. They'll play the Sharks, but knocking off the Sharks really won't drop them any. We'll see what happens with the Bulls or New World Order. Stallions, just because of their experience, I mean, if you look at the teams on the list, they have an experienced team. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback, although he didn't play last week. They actually dropped a spot to the fifth spot. They were four last week. But the Sharks showing that, look, they're going to be consistent for the year, and they're not really not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. It's just a matter of they can really get to the upper echelon. That's why they kind of leapfrogged over them. But the Stallions hit number five. Victoria's Secret up a spot over the Hot Boys and Marvel. Okay, Hot Boys and Marvel at this point, only reason why I would agree that Marvel will be low in the power rankings because it doesn't look like it looks like they're going to have a challenge offensively. They can certainly move in different players into the quarterback position, but every one of the teams, 1-7, has an established starting quarterback. Although one of them is a rookie, there doesn't seem to be a clear picture of who's going to quarterback the Victoria's Secret. I mean, and what's ironic is there's tons of quarterbacks in the league. I mean, you have, Mark C. from SW, from SDB, SDB, SBD, rather. And then you have, he actually is on the Stallions as a receiver. I don't even think he was even playing center. But he, from what I hear, is banged up on his ankle, but he can't play quarterback. He couldn't even play quarterback when C stepped out, but that's someone who can play quarterback. So, I mean, if you're just looking, obviously, that's a position that comes with a lot of pressure. It comes with a lot of expectations, but I think that Marvel might be sitting there a while until they get their quarterback situation squared away, or if they simply are able to establish an offensive identity. That's really kind of where I see that team. So your power rankings, right, from 1-8, no surprise, and we're only week 2 here. NWO, Bulls, Mustangs, Sharks, top four, all undefeated, and then your bottom four teams, Stallions, Victoria's Secret, Hot Boys, and Marvel. Okay. So let's look at the schedule for the 17th. How this will work is we have three straight weeks left. We got April 17th, April 24th, and May 1st. No games on May 8th because of Mother's Day, but then the league will resume May 15th, May 22nd. Fairly, not a short season, but pretty much play every team once, see the team, and then bam, playoff time. So something to note that if you're just kind of keeping track at home, won't be double headers and such. It'll pretty much be you play each team once and then hit the playoff time. So in essence, you're sort of sizing each team up as you play them each week, and then in a week or two later, you're going to come back and hit them on the playoff. So, all right, so let's go through week three games. As we mentioned, NWO will play the Bulls at 8:30, Marvel Stallions at 9:30, Hot Boys Victoria's Secret at 10:30, and then the Sharks and the Mustangs will wrap up the third week of the season at 11:30. So those are your scheduled games. Those games are subject to change in the sense that if there's any inclement weather or if there's an issue, let's say, with any team canceling, but all that information is disseminated out by the league. You check out the schedule at flagfootballamerica.com. Just go to the main page, Adult League, Adult Coed League, and you'll be right there on the main splash page with all that information. Okay. So let's now just hit a couple of rule changes in terms of this clarification of the rules. And listen, I know the Coed League comes a rule change over time, so if you're counting that these rules will be tweaked and down. The gender rule is that on any down, it appears, a run by a female satisfies a run play. Now, listen, this goes back to the spring in which that was deemed not something that would satisfy the gender rule. Even Jenner from Marvel had even mentioned to Gordon, hey, I don't like this rule because, hey, it puts me in a situation where I literally could be standing down there on a field just breathing, and every so often they'll put me a quarterback and have me run, which we know isn't a game play that's going to gain a lot of yards. It isn't a game that really gets a female on the offense and in essence burns a play. If you choose not to go that route, how it will work is if a female is at quarterback, right, the off defense has to be allowed time to get a female rusher in place if they so choose to be. And then, right, in the past, she couldn't run or advance the ball. Well, the thinking is, if she's a quarterback like any other quarterback, why would you restrict the quarterback from running? It isn't restricted when there's a male quarterback. It isn't restricted on first, second, and third down. It really comes down to that. Right, the league has always been in and out of really not trying to run teams or take their game plan or call their plays. So at the moment, from my understanding, is that is the rule. So if a team chooses to put a female quarterback back there, number one, the male players won't have to be back off 7. If there's a male quarterback on third and gender, then the male players do have to be back. All right, maybe they'll be back behind the rush line. The reason why is because, right, it was third and gender in the past, and the men weren't really, the only thing they really were obligated not to do is they couldn't play a zone. They couldn't play a man-to-man defense, but they could certainly be in a tight zone. So, a lot of contact, a lot of bumping, a lot of incidental contact. So, feedback from some of the female players, hey, this is too much. We're in a contact football league. By the essence, it's just a tight space to play in. So that sort of, to their mind, sort of, set off or offset the fact that it was like a non-contact league. So the rule is that if a man's a quarterback, a certain gender, men have to be off the 7. Well, a caveat to the rule is that, nothing prevents a defense or an offense from having two players in the backfield. It's just that now, if there is multiple players in the backfield or there isn't an easily established male or female quarterback, then the play is normal. Then we can play to the line. If they snap it and it's determined that someone's behind the backfield, free blitz ensues. So, in essence, the league is trying to stay out of the game. If you choose to use your female in that regard, that is your choice. Obviously, the success historically over time of female quarterbacks running for touchdowns is wow, out of precedent for it. So, but that's the team's choice. They use their females as they see fit. But you said, you're better teams. If you go for the 16, 15 winners of the Flag Football Championship, Super Flag Bowl, many of them have female players, but it's never been an issue with them succeeding or failing. It's all been a fact that they've integrated them in fairly easily into the game, and it's pretty seamless. So, you look at that and, you kind of just get a vision of where the league sort of stands going forward. So like I said, that's something that comes into play. Other little rule change. It's anything. I think, with newer players, it tends to come up is that the rules now with illegal forward pass, contact, if it's defensive contact or something, that it will be declinable. So the NFL rule actually states that if a player throws, and this happens a lot just because what? With spacing, being able to scramble, sometimes quarterbacks lose their perspective on where they're at in the field. So in this game, you will get more than, let's say, contact football, more instances where, because there isn't a pocket per se, where the quarterback will throw over the line of scrimmage. If his whole body's over, then it's deemed an illegal forward pass. The NFL rule is, not that it matters, but the NFL rule, just for reference, is that you don't lose a down, it's just that you assess yardage and you advance to the next down. So not only is it, let's say you throw the ball 10 yards down the field and you complete it and it's not a pass, not only will you go to the next down, you'll lose 10 yards. That's an illegal forward pass. And the league made a tweet that this rule will be similar to obstructing the rusher, which will be, if it's an illegal forward pass, the defense can either accept or decline the penalty. So if you accept it, you will, believe my understanding is, if you accept it, the yardage is assessed. And then, or if you decline it, then the play would stand. So if it's an interception or something, you can certainly decline that. So that's something where, right, I think that, you know, the league will post something just reference, and obviously the referees or officials will remind the players of that. But that's one issue of, hey, you got to know the rules. Another issue that comes up, particularly with the newer players, and you see it as you get into week two, week three, you always have new players, is flag guard. Flag guard is stated as that if you, by either deliberation or by incidental contact, if you obstruct the defensive player from making a move for the flag, that's flag guard. In the past, I've seen it where even if you are running in stride and you have long strides and your hand is striding through and you hit the defensive player as he or she is going for the flag, you could be called for it. Most commonly, and you see it a lot, is that just by the fact that you've had players with contact football experience, their natural tendency when someone's coming after you is to what? Put your hand out or wave them off or spin them. You know, one of our Hall of Fame players was infamous for really being able to straddle the line between a flag guard and just avoiding the ball. If you're doing it correctly, if two hands are on the ball or if you're just literally moving your hands out of the way, if you were to hit that defensive player, you could be called for it. So, you know, at the low-level games when you got 7-, 8-, 9-year-old kids who play or younger players, yeah, they're always taught two hands on the ball or have firm grip on the ball such that you know that you're running with your contact, all your major parts above the flag line, or you're just running in stride, but yeah, you want to make sure that that player has it, because remember, there's no contact, so the only defensive part of the body on the offensive player is the flag. So that's just something to note. And he said, you know, the officials will always say, keep two hands on the ball. It's a hard habit to break. It really is. When you play contact football for years, even if you play through high school or grammar school, you just, someone's running at you, your natural tendency is to push them away. It's just a human nature. Your more experienced players are focused more on what? Avoiding the player as opposed to what? Trying to keep them away. So you got some players who don't mind even getting close to a player or a defensive player. Their goal is, once they get in close contact, to try to make them miss. So that just takes it to another level. And then when you get to your upper echelon of quarterbacks, yeah, they can literally avoid a player coming at them with a full running start because what? Their center of gravity is such that they keep a good balance, and they don't either go one away, so they keep the defender off balance, I should say. So just how that works, and like I said, the goal here is to get your information from your captains, look up the rules, and if there's questions during the game, bring that up. So just wanted to go into that a little further, because as we get further into the season, all right, your better teams kind of know the rules, and with any rules, some rules are subjective in the sense that, or sometimes every single infraction isn't always seen, particularly when there's a lot of players going for the flag in close quarters, you don't always see that. One thing I always recommend is if you're playing and you're still trying to get the flag and you believe you're pursuing, I mean, sometimes it doesn't make sense to stop and say, oh, you flag guarded. Well, yeah, you still can make a play on it because you're right. It can sometimes be missed. So just a rule of thumb here. So that wraps us up. Week two wrapped up in the league. Let me hit the standings real quick as we're going into week three of the season. Well, let's do this. Games for the week. So those are most important. 8:30, New World Order Bulls. 9:30, Marvel vs. Stallions. Hot Boys, Victoria's Secret, 10:30, and then Sharks, Mustangs, 11:30. Your top four teams all undefeated. WL, Bulls, Sharks, and Mustangs will face off this week. Your teams that are below 500 are Marvel, Stallions, Hot Boys, and Victoria's Secret. For myself, no Estat this week, but we'll definitely have him back next week. For myself, Estat, the Commish, the Flag Football Advisory Board, we will see you next week.